That's the one. Fantastic application, that one. In fact, this podcast, we use Orphonic on that. So when it's all been edited together, the audio is passed through Orphonic to do the equalization.
It's what makes us sound as good as we sound.
Yes, that and my fantastic voice.
Dearie me. Yes, I normally sound like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Ladies and gentlemen, get your toolboxes out because it's time for Dave, the Toolman, and Dave. I don't know, that doesn't really make sense, but it seems to echo just something vaguely from my 80s memory. I used to love Tool Time. Hi, I'm David Council from Paradise in Tasmania. In the UK is also Dave. He's Dave Pritchard. Hey Dave, how you doing?
I'm all right, David. I'm just recovering from that introduction. Dave the Toolman, where on earth did that one come from?
You remember Tool Time, the television show. It was, in fact, one of my favourite shows once upon a time. And in fact, while my wife was in labour with my daughter, I do remember looking at at my watch at one point and going, wow, I wonder how much longer this is going to take because Tool Time starts in half an hour.
You do know how wrong that is, don't you?
On so many levels, and it's one of those things that I'm not allowed to live down because I might have actually said it out loud.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Well.
The reason we're talking tools is because today we're going to talk tools. We're going to talk tools, the free ones, and we're going to talk some of the ones that you have to buy that will help you with your business and right across a whole range of different things. So, man, this is the free tool podcast today.
Yep.
There are a lot to get through. We both use tools, don't we, David? Like on a day-to-day basis.
There's loads of things you use, and in fact, sometimes they're probably so ubiquitous you don't even think that you're using tools sometimes, just because they're part of everyday setup, I guess. I mean, we were running through the list a little bit before this, make sure we had most of the bases covered, and one of the last ones that went on the list was Skype, which is, of course, what we're talking on right now. It's just part of your everyday life, so.
So let's make it the first one. Now, if you've never used Skype before, Skype is fantastic. And I think some people are a bit confused about how Skype works. The conversation that David and I are having at the moment, which we're turning into a podcast, is free. Neither of us are paying to use this Skype call. So it's not like when you pick up your normal phone and you ring someone locally or you ring someone on the other side of the world. If you know their Skype address, you can call them and it costs you nothing. You can, of course, make paid calls, can't you, David, on Skype?
Oh, yes. It's a cheap way of making calls to landlines or whatever as well. But when, as you say, when you have, I guess going back to the old CB radio days, that shows my age a bit. But when you've got somebody's handle, when you've got somebody's Skype address, rather, then Skype to Skype is free. And that means you can speak all over the world to whoever you want, and conference calls. I mean, it's not just one-to-one, it's one-to-many. You can have a conference call on this, as some of our previous episodes where we've had guest interviewees masquerading as Davids on the show, such as Brent Hodson and Steve Ovens and various other people, Ryan, Michael Hansen. We've had a number of people on here joining in on conference calls. And again, that's all part of the functionality, all free, as long as we know who each other are. And, you know, if you've got somebody's email address, you can just say, hey, what's your Skype address? And stick that in your system. And ding dong, there you go.
Yep. So Skype, a fantastic tool, and really one that everybody should have. In fact, it's a bit like a library card. If you don't have Skype and you don't have a library card, take a long, hard look at yourself. What are you doing? You really should be using it.
I'll just add one extra one in there for Apple lovers. There is an HD option as well called FaceTime, which I think is predominantly or possibly exclusively for Apple-to-Apple users, if your iPhone, iPad, Macs, laptops, and whatever, MacBook Pros, rather. That's an option, and I use that one quite a bit because I'm all Appled up here.
Yeah, when I was in London last, and I was calling my sister, who lives in Wagga Wagga, which is a real place, we were FaceTiming across the world.
You've got to love Australian place names, haven't you?
Yep. I think Wagga Wagga means mini crows. I think it means Mini Crows. I don't know. I'm going to get letters now because it might not mean Mini Crows. That might be Woi Woi.
They're great names. I stayed in Coogee in Sydney, one of the beach suburbs, eastern suburbs of Sydney, a couple of years back. And one of the guys that I met said it actually means the beach full of smelly seaweed. I thought, fantastic. How they come up with these names, great.
And just to help you out there, David, for the Australians in the audience, that's Coogee.
Coogee, yeah, I know. Coogee. It's like the Brits that say Melbourne. No, that's Melbourne.
Melbourne, so, yeah. My other favourite one, Launceston, which is actually Launceston.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, I get you all back. I live in or near a city, Leicester, which is spelled Leicester. Silly kind of spelling, but compared to the way it's said. And also near a town called Loughborough, which when we have Australian visitors, so the rumour goes, you see them touring around the town saying, hey, where's this place called Lugabaruga? Anyway, it's all in the spelling and all in the pronunciation and all in the local knowledge.
Beautiful.
So anyway, enough. We digress. Back to the toolkit, David. Back to the toolkit. What's next?
Yep, let's do another tool. Okay. What about Crazy Egg? If you've got a website, Crazy Egg is a fantastic tool. Not free, but I believe that there is a 30-day trial you can sign up for.
Yeah, you can. I use Crazy Egg. And in fact, there is an option for one page. You can get a Crazy Egg freebie for one page, I think. Sometimes they offer it. Well, we ought to explain what Crazy Egg is, shouldn't we, David? It's a heat map. So you can see exactly where people are clicking on your web pages. It is basically, it's a hotspot map, and it you say, I want, you know, this page, davidversusdavid.com, whatever. You put Crazy Egg onto it, you'd leave it alone, and come back, you know, a week or however long, you know, before you got some reasonable number of clicks on it. It says, let's have a look at this page, please. And it overlays it in dark grey and then proceeds to put all the spots on where people have clicked in the, well, since you set it going. So you can see if they're clicking on your images, you can see if they're clicking on read more, you can see if they're clicking on the buy now button or the whatever action you want them to take. And you'd be surprised sometimes actually where people do click. I've just added this into one of my guides that I write on various other things. You know, it can be really surprising. You would be amazed how often people click on images. So if you can hyperlink your images as well as, you know, an obvious text link, things like Crazy Egg give you an awful lot of information about what people are doing on your website and help you in changing things that need changing. So if you want to improve your conversion rates, if everybody on one page is clicking the menu bar to get away from it, there's something wrong with that page. If everybody's clicking the buy now button, they're probably doing exactly what you want them to.
Yeah, and it also tells you where those clicks have come from predominantly. So
indeed.
That's
yeah.
also handy yeah. to know. So if they've come from another page on your website, that's good to know. If they've come from an outside source or Facebook or, you know, something like that, that's, you know, yeah. that's what you want to know.
And it's worth pointing out as well that, I mean, one or two of these things we're going to talk about, yes, there is a cost for them, but you put that cost into context. You know, if you can spend $15 a month or $10 a month or whatever it costs, you know, that is absolute peanuts compared to the value that you will get in return for optimizing your site. And this is conversion optimizing basically for your website, and it's a super cheap way to do it. So, you know, don't put off by spending a little bit of money. Some people are, and they shouldn't be, really. So that's always my advice.
Something else I like with Crazy Egg is that you can set it so that it sends you an email and gives you a report on, you know, how many people have visited specific pages and stuff like that, which is just a great way to prompt you to go and have a look. So if your day can overtake you a bit, and you can miss out on going and checking up on things like this that are important to know, you know, where all those leads are coming from, then, you know, this email just arrives in your inbox and re-prompts you, giving you your report, and makes you go, right, well, I'm just going to click on that now, go through to my Crazy Egg and have a look properly at what's been going on. So, you know, it sort of takes out the excuse of forgetting.
Yep, indeed, absolutely.
Can I do another one? Because this one's also a bit analytical too. It's called Clicky. Now, Clicky is similar to Google Analytics. I actually think it's a bit better because I think Google Analytics can be very sort of techie based. So, you know, you almost need to be a bit of a, you know, computer geek to understand what's going on. So for a lot of people, that can be a bit tough and it becomes difficult for them to learn it. Whereas Clicky's it's just a bit easier. Mm-hmm. It's a real sort of at a glance analytics on your website, and it will also do multiple websites. So if you're like me and you've got, you know, more than one website on the go, then Clicky can actually be quite good.
I don't use Clicky. I'll look into it, actually, because I've sort of grown up over the years with Google Analytics and, you know, started with that on one site and then added it to other sites and blah, blah, blah. So maybe I'm just a little bit biased in terms of that. But that shouldn't put anybody looking off Clicky or Google Analytics in that case, either, actually, for that matter.
Yep.
Both valuable products. And is Clicky free?
Is Clicky free? Now, I have to think about that. Is it free? I think it's got a 21-day trial.
Right, okay.
From memory. But, you know, there is a cost thereafter. But, you know, one of the things I like about these free trials is you're not married to it. You can go and do the trial and go, yeah, that works for me. And then it's worthwhile paying for it because you know you're getting something out of it. Or you can look at it and go, yeah, I don't know. It's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're instantly disconnected from it. So, yeah. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I'll take a look at that one. As I say, I should remove bias from your opinions. It's just because you use something doesn't mean there's not something else out there that that you should have a look at. So I'll take a look at Clicky after this, David.
Well, as I said, the thing that I like about it, it's just a bit simpler. I can remember the first time I looked at Google Analytics and went, wow, there's a lot to learn here.
There's a lot of options in there, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that can put some people off.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. But again, you know, both these tools, along with the Crazy Egg, you know, whether you pay for them or they're free or whatever, you really ought to be taking a look at using them to improve conversions. You can find out so much from them. Having a website up and running, fantastic. I mean, that's a huge first step, and I would always encourage people to get a website up and running sooner rather than later and then work on improving it afterwards. It doesn't have to be perfect to start with. It won't be perfect to start with because you don't know what people, your visitors, are really going to do on it until they get there, until it's there. You've got to have something there for people to visit so you can say, okay, that's not quite what we expected. All people are using it like this, or all people are doing this. We ought to change this. They're coming to it from this search term, or they're doing this, that, and the other. You know, all that information, it's there in Crazy Egg, it's there in Google Analytics, it sounds like it's there in Clicky. You can then use that to make it better and improve it and turn 1 in 100 people that visit your site from a customer, you can change that to become 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, taking the right actions. So
the next two are both email based.
Oh yeah.
So this is like two in one, because I think a lot of people lose time mucking around with emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an absolute time sink. So here's two for you to consider. The first one's called Unroll Me. So you can find that at unroll.me. And what it does is it allows you to take all of those emails that you've subscribed to. Some of them might be a bit spammy. Some of them might not be. That you know, would appear as maybe, you know, I don't know if you're like me, I've got like 20 or 30 of the buggers seem to roll in every time I open up my email. But what this does is it condenses them down into a single email that arrives at a prescribed time.
Okay.
So, you know, then, you know, you go through one email and deal with it all at one time rather than having your little email thing go, boonk, 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 yep, boonk, 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 you know, sounding like an emu in the background. So that's one. That's called Unroll Me. And the other one is just called Mailbox. It's really more for people with iPhones and iPads, I'm sorry to say. And it's actually from the people who make Dropbox.
Okay.
What I like about this one is that it allows you to archive your mail. It allows you to take specific emails that have come in and delay them so that you're not having to, you know, deal with stuff that you're not ready to. So, you know, it just pushes it out, but brings it back.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't deleted it, you haven't filed it, you haven't left it there and thought, oh, I'll get to that later. You just push it out and it comes back again for you later when you're better organized to actually deal with it. So I suppose it's a mailbox workflow, if you like.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, but how many emails do you think you get a day, David?
Oh, good grief. The ones that I actually want, probably somewhere in the region of 50 or 60. Ones that I don't want, probably about 100 to 200 maybe. But bear in mind, I'm pretty strict on my inbox. I use Gmail and I have set up dozens and dozens of rules over the years that I've been using it. So they've got filters and rules. So I have things that come in from various sources, you know, things that I subscribe to. As you were saying earlier on, you know, you get dozens whenever you turn the thing on. I get various emails from other marketers and stuff that I've subscribed to that I won't necessarily want to deal with there and then, but I want to just see what's going on in the market, who's promoting what and so on and so on. And sometimes, you know, particularly over like the last weekend, which has been Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend at the time of recording this, you know, I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of people all promoting the same kind of thing. And that's quite interesting for me. But I don't really want my inbox filling up with it. So I have filters that put them automatically into a folder that I can then go along and have a look at a little bit later on. And in fact, Gmail have implemented something similar since I implemented all these filters, that you now have tabs with social, what do they call them? You got your primary tab, social tab, blah, 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 for about five tabs, promotions and or something else. But anyway, and they automatically filter some emails into those as well now, if you wish. So yeah, you know, filtering it, my inbox runs, if I get to more than 15 messages at a time in my inbox, something is going wrong. And probably at least once a week, I get my inbox down to either, well, 0, 1, 2, or 3 messages at the most. And, you know, it's quite an efficient way of doing it, because you can... Email management is a huge topic, and you can get mind overwhelm if you end up with, you know, hundreds of emails all sat there, and you think, oh God, and the temptation is to scroll down and then start working on them, and then you're going to get nowhere. So yeah, so I'll have a look at Unroll Me as well. That sounds like another good option.
Mm. You see, the Unroll Me stuff, I get my Unroll Me time so that it comes in about the time that I'm going to wake up, because that's when I like to deal with it. I lie in bed in the morning, yep, while my wife's still waking up, and go through all of that, and anything that's there that I go, yeah, okay, I want to look further into that, then I just mark that to come back to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, otherwise I'd be losing valuable time when I'm sitting at my desk wanting to focus on more important stuff than worrying about, you know, these emails just dripping in. And you're right about the rules that you've set up. Because I've transferred from being a PC-based person to being a Mac person, I lost all my rules that used to sit in Outlook. So now I'm having to build them up again in Gmail. But, you know, this mailbox way of doing it through my iPhone, it's another way of dealing with that. So it also means that I don't always go to one spot to get my mail. There's any number of ways that I know to deal with my mail at different times of the day.
You mentioned their mailbox comes from the same people that make Dropbox, and Dropbox is something that people may be familiar with, but if you're not, it's a great storage facility in the infamous cloud.
Absolutely. Honestly, I don't know how I managed to get by without Dropbox. We changed our business over to putting everything in Dropbox several years ago. I used to spend real time worrying about computers crashing, especially servers crashing, and losing millions of dollars worth of work that was sitting in my server. Now it's all in Dropbox. All of my people all over the world can go and access it at any time that they need to. It is so easy to transfer stuff between ourselves and also clients. So you can share a single file, you can share a folder. Clearly, we've got the Dropbox on steroids that we use. And Dropbox will give you a free account with... basically, I think it's 2 gigabytes worth of space.
It's 2.5 gigabytes, yep.
Yeah, and that's free. And then the more people that you invite and share Dropbox with and, you know, help them build their network, the more free space that they give you. It doesn't cost me a fortune, I've got to say. It costs me, you know, something, but it doesn't cost me a fortune to have this bigger version of Dropbox. But it's just fantastic. I can tell you this week, the week that we've recorded this, I have shared, and this is just me, so this is not my television guys, but with someone who's making some videos for me, I have shared 142 videos, and I have also shared 71 audio files with somebody on the, well, actually over in your part of the world. So, you know, not here, so that they can do some additional editing for me. And all I've had to do is just drag the files and drop it in the Dropbox, and it's uploaded at the other end.
Absolutely.
Just so easy.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, I think I don't know what service I pay for. I think I've got a 100 gigabyte account, and I think that costs something like $90 a year or something. It's not a huge amount, and well worth having. My folders up there that I have, you can put all your vital files and folders that you really want. Just drag and drop them, as David said, and share them with different people so that only the right people get to see what you want them to see. Super flexible little tool in the cloud, and very, very easy to use.
And just to give you an idea as to how big it grows, my Dropbox is measured in the terabytes, not in the megabytes or gigabytes. Yeah, it's huge. Another tool?
You mentioned audio files there, David. You were saving lots of video files and saving lots of audio files. So I imagine you're probably going to mention Orphonic.
That's the one. Fantastic application, that one. In fact, this podcast, we use Orphonic on that. So when it's all been edited together, the audio is passed through Orphonic to do the equalization. Now, once upon a time, someone used to have to sit there with the mixing board and twiddle it and play with the gain and the treble and the bass and get all of that right. You just set and forget, and Orphonic does that for you.
Yep.
And every time it turns it out, the file is right.
It's what makes us sound as good as we sound.
Yes, that and my fantastic voice.
Yes, I normally sound like this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I sound like a jockey. While we're talking about video and audio, let's do a couple of the others we have mentioned before, is Wistia.
Yeah.
Wistia is a bit like Crazy Egg. It's a video player, but it allows you to track who's been watching what videos. Did they watch it all? What point did they drop out? What did they watch over and over again? If they've watched one video and then watched another video, it tells you that it's done that as well. Wistia also offers a two-week trial.
Yeah,
it is one of those paid ones, but it is there's a two-week free trial for you to go and check it out. It works in with YouTube. In fact, I believe the guys at Wistia have a fantastic relationship with YouTube, and it is just a tremendous tool for those people who do like to do video marketing to know what's going on with their videos.
Yes,
and it's expandable. I think you can have an account with five. And then it goes up from there.
Yeah, if you're prepared to put up with a little bit of Wistia branding on it at the bottom in the play bar, I think you can actually have three or four, maybe five free videos. You don't actually have to pay anything. I think even if you want, I can't quite remember what the figures are, but if you can. I think if you want 25 videos, it's something like $20 a month then or something like that. Check or don't take our prices for real, guys. Just check them out yourselves, obviously. But it does, as David says, it has a couple of major implications, actually, for your videos. It has a, if you like, a timeline heat map. So you can see at the beginning of a video, you'll have 100% of your viewers engaged. Maybe after 20 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever, maybe 5% have dropped off. They've said, oh, this isn't for me. They've backed out. Hopefully they'll carry on then for, you know, until the end of the video. But most people, you know, a lot of people will drop off throughout the video because they've got to a point where they think, nah, it's not quite what I want, or I've got what I want from it now I'm getting bored with it. So you can see where along, say you've got a 10-minute video, maybe after 6 minutes, you've lost 70% of your audience. So you're only talking to 30% of them now, and it shows you the graph over time of who remains engaged. Or how many people remain engaged. And that is, again, a very useful conversions tool. If you're getting that, you might need to change your video. You might decide that actually, well, that 30%, that's my hardcore. That's the people that are going to buy something. In which case, fantastic. But if you're thinking that sounds concerning, you know, maybe you want to make a 5-minute video instead of a 10-minute video. Maybe you want to make a 10-minute video instead of a 30-minute video. It's a case of, you know, finding out where people drop off. And the other part that goes with it is it has very good video SEO sitemap functionality, so and SEO features in it, so your Wistia videos stand a very good chance of getting picked up through the search engines too. So it's a neat bit of kit. The videos look gorgeous, and they are automatically displayed in the correct format on whatever device you're looking at. It takes all the hassle out of making sure that your videos appear on all the different devices correctly and the different browsers correctly. Neat bit of kit.
That's right. And while we're talking about it, let's talk about things to make video in.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is a question I get asked a lot, especially by, you know, retail business. It's like, well, okay, I do want to do video, but how do I do that? I can't afford all that big expensive software. Bomb. Sorry, I've got three pieces of software here. So here's three for the price of one in terms of video editing apps.
Mm-hmm.
Camtasia,
yep.
ScreenFlow,
yep.
And iMovie.
Yep.
Any one of those you can edit video on easily. iMovie, you can do it in your iPhone and export it through to YouTube if you really want. In fact, I think the popular one out of those for PC users, it is Camtasia. And the Mac people usually like ScreenFlow.
Yeah.
They are just so easy.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, so easy to use. You don't need to be a video editor. No, don't kid yourself. You're not about to go and make television or put, you know, Martin Scorsese out of business but you are going to be able to edit stuff for your business in your own time and turn out nice looking products. So
yep.
There's three that you really should check out. Now, I might add that...
I was just going to say things. ScreenFlow, which is being an Apple boy, that's the one that I use. You know, you can import video clips from wherever. So if you've taken video clips on your iPhone or whatever phone or from wherever, you can just drag and drop. You can split them. You can cut and paste them into the flow of the ScreenFlow, the flow of your ultimate video that you want to create. You can also record what goes on the screen with all the clicks and so on and so on. And you can record the audio file separately. You can shuffle it all around. You can trim them. You know, and it's all drag and drop. Really, really quite easy to use. And you get a few special effects in there as well. So if you've got like a screenshot or a static image and you want that sort of moving around the image type effect, I think it's... it's got a special name. Can't remember the name of it. It's named after a guy. Anyway, you know, where you have a large image and you're...
His name's not David, is it?
It's not. No, it should be. I'll try and remember that one. But, the image that pans, you pan across the image and create a moving video effect from a static image, that kind of thing. So it's very neat, very easy to use. And although I'm a little bit of a techie at heart, even for me, I sort of kind of got going within about 5 minutes with it. Wouldn't imagine it would take much more than a half an hour to an hour to get really quite familiar with the basic of using it. So... And I think it's about $90, which again is not the hugest outlay in the world.
Well, I can tell you that iMovie for your iPhone or iPad last time I checked was $6.99.
Yeah, indeed, that's again next to nothing.
We've got lots of clients that we sort of say, you know, you want an easy solution? Here, go and spend $6.99, mm-hmm. Perfect your skills using that. You want to step up after that? Call us after that, and we'll point you at a better piece of software like a ScreenFlow or a Camtasia.
Yeah,
but you know, to get yourself started on $6.99, seriously, that type of software, when I first started making television, would have cost you in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh yeah, gosh,
it's just, you know, it's freaky how cheap some of this stuff has got for people like our listeners to use. Can I do another 2-for-1 offer?
Go on then, 2-for-1.
How about Evernote?
Yep.
We both love Evernote, and Evernote's little sister, Evernote, yep, Web Clipper. Now the Web Clipper is, if you use a browser like Chrome or Safari or Firefox or Opera or Internet Explorer, and they're the main ones anyway, let's face it, instead of, if you find something on a website and you want, I need to keep that piece of information, this Evernote Web Clipper will clip it and send it to your Evernote account, which is just fantastic. And Evernote is like walking around with a filing cabinet in your pocket.
Absolutely.
You can take information, attach tags to it, so that when you go to search for it, it's so much easier to find. It's not like having a desk with a shotgun of paper all over it. Everything's in nice, neat little piles that you can go and have a look at to find, yep, again. And there's a free version of Evernote. The premium version of Evernote is a massive... $5 a month or something.
I'll tell you what, I'll just use the free version. It does me quite nicely. And it's one of those opportunities when you're out in a coffee shop or out and about doing whatever, and you've got Wi-Fi and you're searching around the net, and you just, you know, it's one of those things that is a really nice little productivity tool for doing things while you're having a semi-work hour, if you like, the excuse to go and get away from the office, but you really think you ought to do a little bit of work, and you go somewhere, sit down, have a coffee, and you connect it up, and that looks good, Evernote that, web clip that, get your notes sorted out, and of course, you know, you get back to the office and sync it all together, and Bob's your granny. You've got everything that you want where you want.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, look, I almost forgot too. One of my favorite apps of all time, Jing. Do you use Jing? J-I-N-G. Jing.
I have used Jing, yep.
I love Jing.
Neat little product. Very neat.
We wrote our entire company manual from Jing. It is just so easy to be able to screenshot something, which it can either be a still and then add arrows and text to it, or mm-hmm. video. So you can actually, you know, screenshot yourself on video with audio going at the same time, explaining what you're doing. And we built all of that into a document so that anyone who joins our organization now can go to the document and look up how we do stuff. It is just so easy to use. Jing, fantastic. How could I have forgotten Jing?
Okay.
You want another one?
Yeah, just continuing on the image and video type thing. Picture resizing. What do you use for that, David?
Look, everyone's favorite is Photoshop, and Photoshop's a pretty technical tool. So for people who aren't technical, there is a really, really easy app called Pick Resize. P-I-C-R-E S-I-Z-E, Pick Resize.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get it as a browser extension in Chrome or Firefox. It's 100% free to use. And if you need to resize something to, I don't know, use it on Facebook or on a website, or even just to email it through to someone, this is just a terrific tool and so easy to use. So, you know, you don't have to be Eddie the expert when it comes to that one. Pick Resize will get you out of all sorts of problems.
Generally, when you send images, when you want images for a website, when you send images to other people, you know, you've got all your cameras that take 8 megabyte pixel, you know, huge files they create, and they obviously take time to transmit. So I see this one quite a bit when, you know, taking photos and you want to upload them to Facebook. You know, Facebook only shows a certain size image anyway. It's kind of pretty pointless loading an 8 megabyte file up to Facebook, particularly if you want an album of 15 images, whatever. Slap them all through this, and you get a, like, you know, 750 by 500 size image instead of a whatever size, 3,500 by 2,500 pixel image. It takes about 5% of the time to transmit and upload. Very, very slick. So recommend that. I've got two. Actually, I've got two or three now of my favourites.
So I go for it.
We're going to run a little bit longer on this episode, people, but we'll try and keep it down to just maybe 5 minutes. Password management can be a pain in the backside. If you've got 10 accounts of anything, you know, you want to log into a WordPress site, you've got a hosting account, you've got an AWeber account for or MailChimp account, whatever, for your email list, you're likely to have just, at the end of the day, dozens and dozens of accounts for all sorts of things that you need to log into. That means a username and a password for each of them. And if you're really naughty, you use the same password that's your mother's maiden name or your date of birth of your child or whatever, your dog, whatever, and you will end up getting hacked and lose everything. So if you're sensible, you'll choose a nice strong password for each one of these. And then, of course, you've got to remember them.
You don't even have to be the only one who's being hacked either, because remember, Adobe was hacked a couple of months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a whole heap of usernames and passwords. Now, those people, if they've used that same username and password on lots and lots of accounts, all it's going to take is for these hackers to start testing that password out in a few places, and doors will open. So, yeah, this is really important.
No, somebody did actually go through and analyze all those hacked passwords, because they were published. And they basically came up with the conclusion that the world's number one favorite password is 123456. That bad. That is that bad. But anyway, yeah, so there are tools that you can use which will store, create complex passwords and store each one of them. And you only need one master password, which should obviously be very, very strong, one master password to access the software that enables you to then click and open any other of your passwords automatically in the web browser when you're there. Various tools, FirstPass, LastPass. My personal favorite is 1Password. Again, these work across most platforms, iPads, PCs, Macs, whatever. They're just super slick tools. It sounds kind of slightly counterintuitive, maybe, having one password that enables you to then get into every single one of your accounts, but you can make that one password super, super strong with special characters in it, numbers, uppercase, lowercase, whatever, and one that, you know, is still easily rememberable for you. But then you can have everything else is a complete hackable nightmare. And it's just such a sensible thing to do. And for, I'm not sure, one or two of them might be free. I pay $25 a year or $25 an upgrade, I think, for 1Password. Super bits of kit and you've got to recommend something like that.
Yeah, I think LastPass is actually free, and 1Password, as you said, has a pretty small fee. And of course, don't forget, if you want to share your master password with someone, you don't actually give them your password, you give them a password, which you can then select which accounts they can have access to. And at any point that you like, you can turn their password off.
Yeah.
It really is very, very secure.
Yeah, two more from me. Two and a half more from me. Mind mapping software. I love planning things out with mind map software. It just enables you to organize your thoughts. So I think we mentioned it in the past. If you want to plan out your blog posts or your content creation schedule for the next few weeks, mind map it. You saves tons of paper and post-it notes that you're going to lose. You save scribbling things out when you realize you put things in the wrong order. You can just drag and drop the little branches around. They expand into more branches. You can, you know, one thing leads to another, leads to another. You pretty much plan out the contents of your mind as how things develop as you think more about things. So, you know, main topic for a set of blog posts would be the branch. Then maybe have five subtopics, which would be the little branches coming off the end of that one. And then you'd have loads more branches as one idea leads to another, leads to another. Absolutely super for planning things out. There are free versions that give you limited facilities, but still totally viable to use. And then you can pay for little upgrade versions that give you extra facilities, like exporting them as PDFs and putting them into presentations if you want to make a presentation at a PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever. One other one that I use a lot, good old free TextPad notepad editors. So in Apple, it's I think TextEdit, and in PC, it's Windows, it's probably Notepad. Just simple text editors. You can jot down so much stuff, that kind of thing, kind of combined with Evernote. You just get so much from something like that. Always have a text pad, text edit, notepad window open, just to drop stuff down, cut and paste stuff, move it across. It's just a fantastic little app, really. Can't live without that one. That's probably it for me on most of mine. I've got one or two more specialist ones that maybe we'll save for another time, actually, for me. What about you, Dave? Anything else you want to wrap up with on the apps front?
That's actually 19 tools. Let me give you one more just so that we can even it up to 20. And this one's for people who do a lot of project management or work with teams of people and find that, you know, things can get a bit out of control. It's, you know, hard to keep track of all the loose ends. Then Basecamp is one that you always should be checking out. If you've never heard of it before, go and have a look at it. Basecamp is genuinely fantastic.
Is that 37 Signals, guys?
Yeah, the 37 Signals guys. And they're very, very switched on people. There are other, you know, project management pieces of software out there. And there are, in fact, pieces of project management software that are for specialist industries. Like there are ones for advertising agencies, for example, all different types. But Basecamp is a very generalist tool. It's not particularly expensive, and it is used by people who have teams all over the world. It's genuinely a really nice tool. So there you go. We've run a bit long, but that's 20 tools that you can use in your business to help you with everything from productivity to email to, you know, sorting out your audio, all sorts of things. Oh, actually, no, 21. The podcast app. The podcast app. Oh, no, I've got 22, sorry.
We've come of age at last, David. We've got to 21.
Yeah, well, I've got another one beyond that. So the podcast app, look, I love it because I listen to so many podcasts. I listen to 40 hours of podcasts every week. I listen to it all at double speed. My wife doesn't know how I do it. It drives my daughter insane in the car. But it's fantastic because it goes and gets your podcasts for you. You know, it's one of those things you're not having to waste time on. And the other one, honestly, the name of it has just slipped out of my brain, for recording voice memos. So I use it all of the time. I can be out and I just record a meeting or I record a note to myself. It allows me to name it. I think it's actually even a native app inside of an iPhone.
I think it is.
But it is absolutely fantastic. So there you go. It's whatever it's called. It's the audio dictation software that comes with an iPhone. And I'm going in at a 23 because I can be quick with it. And that's the Translate software that I use because I write to people all over the world and in a variety of languages that I don't speak. But it is just terrific. I basically dictate into it what I want it to say, edit, translate it, translates it into whatever language I want. And I would say that while I'm not going to pass necessarily French, you know, it at least allows me to not look like a total dupe.
the voice memos one, David, you just mentioned previously, number 22, I think, is actually called Voice Memos. It's a native app on your iPhone.
Yeah, and look, I think the Translate one is actually called Google Translate.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it's something like that, yeah. Such a basic app, and you know, it's just terrific. So there you go. 23
indeed. You know what's going to happen after this episode, though, don't you?
We'll discover more.
Somebody's going to say, you missed out this one. You missed out that one.
Oh, yeah.
So please tell us. Yeah, add them in the comment under the episode on the website. The website, David, is www.davidversusdavid.com.
That's the one. Or the Facebook page, David, is?
Facebook.com/DavidVersusDavid.
And what is it we like people to do at iTunes?
We love it when people leave us 5-star iTunes reviews on the iTunes store.
Yep, we do. And we're certainly building up quite a few of them.
Yeah, we're getting quite a few. Have we had any more this week, David? We've had a few more likes, I think.
Oh, we have had a few more likes. Look, in all honesty, I believe we've had more 5-star reviews, and I did read them, but as we came to record this, I put my iPhone on charge. and it's in another room. And that's very rare for me to be separated from my iPhone.
Well, we'll maybe catch up on those next week then.
We will do that.
I think in the interests of letting our listeners get on with the rest of their days, we ought to wrap this one up and say good morning from me, have a great day, and probably say...
Good evening from me. Yeah. Have a great day. Goodbye from paradise, everybody. See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.